Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is lecture number 7 through the book of Genesis, and we come today to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. And God has just announced to Noah that he is going to destroy the world with a flood. And verse 9 says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah was not sinless, but he was blameless. Because of his faith in God and his heart for God, God didn't hold his sins against him. Like anyone else who has ever been saved, Noah was saved by grace through his faith. His faith in God made him blameless to God. Verse 10. And Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Corrupt means to be changed from good to bad. When God looked at the earth in Noah's day, he experienced what you experience, maybe, if you've ever opened up a bottle of sour milk, let's say. You say, man, it was good, but it is now bad. And it is disgusting to me. And when God looked at the earth in Noah's day, he said, it was good, it has become bad, and I am disgusted. 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Everyone was totally given over to their sin, except for Noah and family. Which means that Noah lived for God when it wasn't a cool idea to live for God. It wasn't popular to live for God. But Noah didn't try to blend in with everyone else. He was uncool, I suppose. But that's okay, because at least he hasn't been burning in hell for thousands of years, like the rest of his generation has been doing. 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God is God, and he does what he knows is best. When he determines that something needs to be done, he does it. The Bible says that no one counsels God. This is his world, and he does what he has to do. And right now, he must destroy the world that sin has ruined. These people will not change. They'll add sin to sin and make their suffering in hell even worse. It's time to bring it all to a screeching halt. Verse 14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. 450 feet by 75 feet by 45 feet high. Those are the dimensions of the ark. A shipbuilder was given these dimensions without being told where they came from. You know what his response was? Whoever designed this boat knew what he was doing, because that thing is unsinkable. And so think about that. Long before anyone knew anything about shipbuilding, God's word contains the blueprint for an unsinkable ship. More evidence that this has to be the word of God and not the product of man. Verse 17. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." And I believe that Noah had to sit down after God told him that he was going to wipe out the entire earth. Boy, I sure would have. He must have been grateful that God would choose him to play such an important part in this terrible judgment, but still, Noah must have been speechless, I would think. 19. "And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." You say, well, how could all these animals fit in that boat? I had a guy say, it's impossible. No. People who say stuff like that have not studied it. There was plenty of room. There was the equivalent of 800 double boxcars, railroad boxcars. That's how much space there was. The equivalent square footage of 800 double-decked railroad boxcars. Now, at the most, and we know this, at the most there were 17,000 different species of birds, animals, and crawling things. 17,000. There was, therefore, at the very most, 75,000 creatures in that ark. Some were large, and some were small. But if you average them all out, they'd be less than the size of a sheep. The ark's square footage, now you can figure this out, could hold 125,000 sheep. Which means that it was about 60% full. That's it. Which left plenty of room for food. The ark was big enough to do the job. 22. "Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." There's 120 years of cutting trees, sawing, hammering, gluing, and sweating, and preaching. In those three little words, Noah did this. He did according to all that God had him do, so he did. 120 years of a lot of hard work. In the three words, so he did. And there's no mention of Noah's complaining or rebellion. He never said, as far as we know, I feel like quitting. Maybe he did. He never said, I've been doing this for decades and I still haven't seen even one drop of rain. My hands are full of slivers, blisters. Everyone in the world is laughing at me. As far as we know, Noah didn't complain. He just faithfully carried out his mission from God. It wasn't easy work. It was not glamorous. And it did not make him popular. He did it because it was what God wanted him to do. Chapter 7, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Noah preached for 120 years. The call to repent went out to all. But when it came time for God's wrath to hit, only Noah and his family were invited by God to come into that ark. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. God is inviting everyone to receive eternal life through Christ today. But only those who repent and ask Christ to be their Lord and Savior will be invited into heaven. Chapter 7, verse 2. God says, "You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. 120 years of preaching and hammering and sawing have come down to this. God gives Noah a 7-day warning. Wrap things up, Noah. The animals are on their way, and the flood will hit in 7 days. 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. You say, Moret, I don't believe Noah went out and caught all those animals. I don't either. The Bible doesn't say he went out searching. In chapter 6, verse 20, God said, Noah, they will come to you. Listen, if God can cause animals to migrate to different parts of the world, then he has no trouble causing them to migrate to the ark. Animals aren't like people, you know. When God tells them to do something, they do it. Verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Noah and family and creatures sat in that ark and waited. After 7 days, it started to rain for the first time in the history of the world. 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, a huge canopy of water that surrounded the upper atmosphere of the earth. Since day two of creation, that thing suddenly falls to the earth. It was like a tidal wave from the sky. And not only that, the earth's crust exploded upward, and the underground oceans and rivers came shooting up to the surface of the earth. Verse 12. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And God didn't pick the number 40 out of a hat either. He has a reason for everything he does, and in the Bible, 40 is the number of testing and purification. And that's what God was doing, purifying the earth of the sinners who had corrupted themselves so terribly. Next time we pick up our study in chapter 7, verse 13. Until next time, so long, everyone.